You're listening to a recording provided for the use of the blind and print impaired. Materials or items read on Airs LA are the copyright property of the original authors and publishers. No unauthorized use or duplication is permitted. Hello, I'm Michael Piotrasch. Welcome to another recording of articles from Popular Science magazine, a presentation of Airs LA. This week's articles include, first, at 1 minute, this robot scans rare library books at 2,500 pages per hour. Next, at 4 minutes and 25 seconds, human teens beat AI at an international math competition. And finally, at 10 minutes 20 seconds, 4-day work week benefits workers and employers, new study shows. Let's get to it. This first article is from the Technology Robots section and is entitled, This Robot Scans Rare Library Books at 2,500 Pages Per Hour, written by Andrew Paul, published July 18, 2025. Digitizing rare manuscripts is getting increasingly hands-off. This article begins with a photo of a book-scanning robot. Its caption reads, The Scan Robot 2.0 uses gentle puffs of air to turn a book's pages. For decades, preservationists charged with digitizing rare books have faced an ironic challenge. The whole point of scanning these often one-of-a-kind objects is to keep the delicate manuscripts from harm. To do that, however, required a much more hands-on approach. One of the first solutions was to simply place a tome in a book cradle, then photograph each individual page. In later years, archivists increasingly relied on more advanced top-down document camera arrays. Even today, the digitization process is frequently tedious and time-consuming work, and that's where specially designed robots come in handy. After 2 years of research, archivists at the University of Tulsa's McFarland Library recently decided to try out a machine called the Treventis Scan Robot 2.0. Built in Austria, the bot does exactly what its name implies. It automatically scans and digitizes manuscripts. But whereas it might take a single librarian days or weeks to scan a single book, the Scan Robot 2.0 can handle up to 2,500 per hour. It's not sacrificing safety for speed, however. The setup relies on a unique toolkit to ensure it digitizes a book quickly, but with the least amount of direct contact possible. First, a camera housed in a wedge-shaped case descends down into a book's center margin, also known as the gutter. Small holes in the triangular plate then generate a vacuum to softly pull pages to either side of the camera's prism. The imaging unit next ascends up again while scanning both pages simultaneously. Once completed, the vacuum switches off and air nozzles emit a small puff of air to turn the pages. The whole process then repeats again and again until a book is finished. But purchasing a Scan Robot 2.0 doesn't mean the librarians can simply flip it on and leave the room. The library's department director and rare books cataloger both trained for a week to become certified book robot operators. One of them is always at the control panel whenever the robot is in use to monitor its progress, adjust settings in real time, or pause its work altogether. Quote, Our assessments show that around 64,000 of our books are out of copyright and could be scanned and uploaded, and more books join the public domain every year, unquote, Kunz explained in a university profile earlier this year. Quote, There will always be books to make available for our students and scholars, unquote. This next article is from the Technology AI section and is entitled, Human Teens Beat AI at an International Math Competition, written by Andrew Paul, published July 22, 2025. Google and OpenAI earned gold medals, but were still outmathed by students. This article begins with a photo of a hand writing 2 plus 2 equal 4 on a chalkboard. Its caption reads, Google's AI improved from last year's performance when it earned a silver medal. For the first time ever, AI models achieved prestigious gold-level scores at the International Mathematics Olympiad, one of the world's premier math competitions. Their success is an undeniable bragging right for the technology's biggest supporters. But as it stands, Google and OpenAI's most cutting-edge experimental AI programs still can't beat an extremely smart teenager. It may seem ironic, but complex mathematics is still one of AI's biggest hurdles. There are many analyses of why this remains such an issue, but generally speaking, it has to do with how the technology works. After receiving a prompt, AI like ChatGPT and Google Gemini break the words and letters down into tokens, then parse and predict an appropriate response. To an AI, an answer is just the most likely string of tokens. Humans, however, process them as words, sentences, and complete thoughts. Given these parameters, AI doesn't possess the logic capabilities required to handle complex mathematical prompts. This is largely because math prompts usually don't have multiple possible answers, only a single correct solution. Today, a pocket calculator will invariably give you the objectively true answer to multiplying 4,596 by 4,859, 22,331,964. Meanwhile, ChatGPT might still offer you an answer of 22,325,364. There is an additional photo, a screenshot of ChatGPT giving the wrong answer to a multiplication problem. Its caption reads, "ChatGPT still has some issues when it comes to basic multiplication." Big improvements. Since 1959, the International Mathematical Olympiad, IMO, has served as one of the world's premier events for young, human math whizzes. Many mathematicians would need longer than their allotted time to answer just one of the IMO's problems, and most people wouldn't be able to solve any of them. Australia most recently hosted the 66th annual IMO competition in Queensland, where 641 teenagers from 112 countries met on July 15 to tackle six questions in under 4.5 hours. This time, however, they had some additional competition. A pair of experimental AI reasoning models from Google and OpenAI. The bots fared well. Both companies have since announced that their programs scored high enough on this year's IMO test to earn gold medals. Each AI managed to solve five of the six problems within the time limit, earning 35 of the maximum 42 possible points. This year, only about 10% of human entrants received a gold-level score. It marked a major improvement from Google's last showing at IMO. In 2024, a version of its DeepMind reasoning AI reached a silver medal score after solving four of six problems, although it required 2 to 3 days of computation instead of the 4.5-hour time limit. According to IMO President Gregor Dolinar, one of the most striking points of this year's results wasn't just the AI program's calculations, but the way in which they explained their thought processes to arrive at each answer. Quote, "Their solutions were astonishing in many respects. IMO graders found them to be clear, precise, and most of them easy to follow," unquote, Dolinar said via Google's announcement. Big concerns. There's at least one last IMO milestone for both companies, a perfect score. This year, five teens pulled off that accomplishment. And even if Google or OpenAI ties humans at the IMO in the coming years, the victory may still require context. As AFP noted, IMO organizers couldn't confirm how much computing power was required by either AI model, or if there was any additional human oversight during the calculations. And while AI's latest technological leap forward is impressive, it still likely required disconcertingly massive amounts of energy and water. Companies like Google, OpenAI, and Microsoft are all investing heavily in data center projects to support their AI projects, all of which need power sources. In some cases, that may even include expanding the use of fossil fuels. Watchdogs previously estimated that at this rate, the AI industry may consume as much energy as Argentina, if not multiple nations combined. That's a problem that neither AI nor its makers has yet to solve. This final article is from the Science section and is entitled, 4-Day Workweek Benefits Workers and Employers, New Study Shows, written by Andrew Paul, published July 21, 2025. Perhaps the most surprising finding so far is that there is no surprise. This article begins with a photo of an office interior with white columns and panoramic windows in a modern loft. Many green plants in pots in a workroom with laptops on tables with chairs and cups at daylight. Its caption reads, "None of the companies involved in the pilot program were necessarily against keeping the 4-day work week schedule." For many people, the 40-hour work week can be an exhausting grind, but new research bolsters the argument that the solution isn't necessarily to focus on improving your mindset, getting a better night's sleep, or simply sucking it up. It's switching to a 4-day work week. The evidence is presented in a study published on July 21st in the journal Nature Human Behavior. The 5-day, 40-hour work week was a hard-fought win for labor activists in the U.S. The legal protection only arrived after generations of grassroots organizing, union solidarity, and physical sacrifice. And even today, the right isn't guaranteed to people working multiple, part-time, or gig jobs. Still, that hasn't stopped many labor advocates from pushing for even greater workplace gains. In recent years, a growing number of organizations and experts have started campaigning for a 4-day work week. According to nonprofits like 4-Day Week Global, 4DWG, a 3-day weekend provides even better conditions, not just for workers, but for the businesses themselves. Thanks to recent research, they're amassing the scientific data to back up their demands. Biggest surprise was no surprise. 4DWG recently tasked an international team of sociologists with enlisting more than 140 companies across the U.S., U.K., Canada, Australia, and Ireland to participate in a series of 6-month pilot program trials. During that time, their employees would switch to a 4-day work week with no adjustments in pay or benefits. 4DWG offered each company assistance in setting up the new system, and earlier this year, nearly 3,000 employees began clocking in 32 instead of 40 hours a week. The initial data from the team's first two trials involving nearly 33 companies was clear. None of the companies said they were necessarily opposed to maintaining the 4-day week and reported increases to workplace productivity as well as revenue growth. Meanwhile, employees cited less stress and feelings of burnout, as well as a general improvement to their physical and mental well-being. According to the study's organizers, these results didn't come as a shock. Quote, "Perhaps the most surprising finding so far is that there is no surprise, which is not typically the case in academic research," unquote. Wen Fan, a Boston College sociologist and study co-author, said in a statement. Quote, "Usually, we would get some hypotheses supported while others refuted. But for this project, basically everything we expect to move moves, and in the anticipated direction," unquote. Fan also noted that reduced hours didn't require employees to work harder during their new 4-day weeks. At the same time, quote, "key organizational bottom lines sustained," unquote. Quote, "I think this is an ideal example demonstrating how powerful, well-conceived work redesign efforts can make an impactful difference in the real world," unquote, she added. Extinguishing burnout. The study's authors explained that a major method to ensure manageable workloads over fewer hours was to take an axe to largely unnecessary meetings. Instead, employees simply relied more on phone calls, messaging platforms, and other communications means. Another boost to efficiency stemmed from what workers did with their extra weekend day. Often people used the third day for personal errands and medical appointments that they usually attempted to fit into their busier 40-hour weeks. There was also more time for hobbies, leisure, housework, and personal care, all areas that help improve a general mood and health. Meanwhile, companies frequently saved money through lower healthcare costs and lower employee turnover rates. Quote, not losing highly trained individuals in fields like healthcare or teaching to stress and burnout is certainly a worthwhile goal, unquote, said Juliet Shore, a BC sociologist and 4DWG academic board member. Quote, at a time when we've seen many employers struggle to fill positions, the four-day week can be touted as a benefit, unquote. Seizing the extra day. Shure and Wan have studied overworked labor forces for years, but say the four-day week was a tough sell until very recently. Quote, pre-COVID, it would have struck a lot of people as pie in the sky and not feasible for companies, unquote, said Shure. Quote, but the pandemic created such levels of stress and burnout and led many employees to say, I want to live my life differently. And this created more of a space for reimagining work, and as part of that, the four-day week, unquote. To Fan, it would be a major loss if people didn't seize the opportunity presented in the wake of an otherwise devastating pandemic. Quote, social change is always difficult, especially when it comes to challenging the deep-seated institutional logics dictating how, when, and where we work, unquote, said Fan. Quote, let's hope we don't waste the crisis of COVID in terms of the profound workplace innovations it has precipitated, unquote. Well, that brings us to the end of this week's material from Popular Science magazine. I'm Michael Piotrosz, and I'll be back soon with more interesting articles. Thank you for listening.